It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weak?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello everyone and welcome to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hey guys.
Glad to have each and every one of you joining us for the program today. It's been a really great week.
We've done a lot of miracles this week.
Because
we've done like two.
Seen a lot and heard a lot.
No. It's been good. We zipped through a lot of miracles this week. We're on the last one. Miracle 37.
Yep.
Not the last miracle, but the last one for this week. I don't think we're going to be able to do two. But this is Jesus curses the fig tree.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, this is another one, Kevin, that when we were looking into all of this, that some people leave this out as a miracle. Isn't that odd? And it must be again
miraculous that Jesus had authority over the fig tree.
But I think it's that it wasn't a human being, so they considered it. Maybe they were only considering miracles that were healing because the fish in the coin and the fish's
calming
mouth.
A storm isn't a miracle,
right? You know, so I'm like, no, this stays in. This is a good one.
Isn't a miracle just because there wasn't a person involved?
I think that people count them differently. So this one's in Mark, and I think it's your turn to read.
Mark 11.
Yeah.
12 through 26, man, you're going to give me the long one. I see how it is. All right, no worries.
Just kick back
over there and relax, I'll take this for you.
Go ahead. You've got this.
I'm never discouraged to read the Word of God. Here we go. So now the next day, as they went out from Bethany, he was hungry. After noticing in the distance a fig tree with leaves,
this is Jesus.
He went to see if he could find any fruit on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple area and began to drive out those who were selling and buying in the temple courts. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then he began to teach them and said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you've turned it into a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the experts in the law heard it, and they considered how they could assassinate him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered." And Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If someone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says will happen, it will be done for him. For this reason, I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins."
Man, this has a lot of little goodies in it.
There's a lot of famous little
lines
in there.
But here we go. Jesus got hangry.
He did.
He had a hangry moment here. And, you know, it was needed, but it says he was hungry. You know, so the context of this is that this is a miracle that was more destructive, right? We really haven't seen anything where Jesus actually did something that was destructive. But he didn't really get violent. But it seems out of character of this.
Probably wouldn't have messed with him in that moment.
Well, it seems out of character of this mild-mannered Jesus that we've seen. And then he takes it out on this poor little tree because it wasn't time to bear figs. But we're going to see the context in this as we break it down. So that's important to like kind of remember. But if you link this back to Luke, the parable of the fig tree, which taught that grace was extended before judgment to give a chance for the fruit of repentance, if you remember that, you know, now this year is up and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and he's looking for the fruit of repentance. So this is our parallel. And if there is no fruit, what will happen to Jerusalem? It will be destroyed. So our parallel is if there's no figs on the tree, it will be destroyed.
Right.
So a lot of people miss that. This is a parable of comparison of what's going on
the
in
fig
Jerusalem.
Tree is actually Jerusalem.
Right, and he's expecting to see fruit. He wants fruit is change. Fruit is fruits of the Spirit. It's a change that is good. And so this is what he's kind of warning of and that sure. he's frustrated about.
So the problem in the temple is actually the reason for the pronouncement against the fig tree.
Right.
Think about it.
Right. The temple that should have been like a house of prayer and of all nations, it's turned into what he said, a den of robbers. They're just ripping people off. And the Gentile
yeah.
plaza had been filled up with all these people changing monies and said there was no room for anybody to even worship anymore. You know, you kind of think, wow, how did that happen? But they turned it into a money-making system instead of a place where people would worship the Lord,
wow.
you know? It's really wild.
So they all got locked up and didn't allow anybody else to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. They didn't live up to their own responsibility, and that caused others to lose out
right.
in their life.
Right, you know, and that's Matthew talks about that.
Sure, that's in Matthew, what, 23.
Right. So then we've got the cursing of the fig tree, you know, in Hosea 9 and 10, or let's see, chapter 9, verse 10.
Yeah.
It says, you know, Israel is an image of the fig tree. You know, it's talking about the fruit in the first season. So I
sure.
wanted to read it because it's really good when you start referencing all the places where the fig tree is mentioned in some way. And it says, when I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the early fruit of the fig tree. But when they came to Baal-peor, they consecrated themselves to that shameful idol and became as vile as the thing they loved. So, ooh, what a disappointment. It was like, at first they were like finding grapes in the desert, which must have been, you know, that would be an amazing thing, right?
You'd be oh, man, when you're all
sweet
hot and
like sweet and
in
juicy
desert, and you get
fruit,
some grapes, and
you know.
Like, mm.
And it was the parallel here was that he was describing Israel the same way now he's describing Jerusalem. He was seeing the early fruit of the ancestors and was so excited to see that there was going to be this fruit. But then when things really happened, they took a different turn and they began to worship idols.
Well,
and stuff.
I love this whole idea of Israel being the fig tree. You know, we saw it in Hosea 9:10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, but it's also in Nahum mm-hmm. 3:12. And
right.
There's some stuff in Zechariah as well. But look at this scripture in Nahum 3:12. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, "All you fortresses are like fig trees with their first ripe fruit, and they are shaken, and the figs fall off into the mouth of the eater."
Mm. Yeah, so there's like a symbolism of
it's
the figs.
It's basically we're showing you that in Scripture, the fig tree is representative of Israel, you know,
right.
in more than one place.
So, you know, Jesus wasn't just hangry and took this out on a tree. There actually, once again,
yeah.
there was great purpose.
He's making a point.
He is. This is a very intentional move that Jesus makes. It wasn't like he lost control of his emotions and just blah, blah, blah at the tree, you know,
yeah.
took it out
like,
on him. There was a reason this represented more. And so if you look at Zechariah 3:10, the symbol of the blessing of the kingdom when Israel invites others to find shade under the fig tree. So it says,
right.
"In that day, each of you will invite your neighbors to sit under your vine and fig tree," declares the Lord Almighty. He's saying there would be a uniting, you know, there would be this compassion and this sharing.
Well, I think it's prophecy of the Gentiles coming to know Jesus.
Right.
You know,
no,
that
you're right.
going to call your neighbors to come sit under the tree.
That's right. You're going to be
that's
united.
That's us. I mean, I'm
right.
the neighbor, you know,
right.
in my life, and you
right.
guys out there. Are the neighbor in many ways, where we've been invited now through Christ to come
mm-hmm.
into a relationship with him, to
right.
sit and to dine under the blessings that Israel has as the fig tree, as the people of God. We've
right.
been grafted in through mm-hmm. Christ into a relationship
that's right.
with God through
right.
the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah.
Exactly. Yeah, and then there's this cause or this desire, because the reason for the curse is because Jesus is looking for fruit. So he goes into Jerusalem and he's looking for fruit. This is how we can parallel that. And then you've got this disaster. You know, Jesus only finds the leaves, and the appearance of life, the appearance of life or the appearance of Jerusalem had no fruit. There was no life. And it says, it was not the season for the figs. So why did he curse it? You know, a lot of people are like, why did he curse it? Because this is a parable. You know, we know that for the fig tree, the budding comes prior to the leaves. Like they bud and then there's a leaf and then there's small figs that come before the leaves come. There's like this process. And then before the leaves come, I mean, after the little figs come, then the leaves come and then the big figs come. It's kind of interesting how a fig tree, it's like the nub, then it's a little fig, and then it's leaves, and then it's the big fig. So Jesus saw, you know, nothing. Did he say he saw no leaves, or did he say,
saw no figs. He said he saw leaves, but then there was
figs. Okay, so he saw, so see, it should have had fruit, but he knew it wasn't going to because it didn't have the little buds that went with the leaves. So he knew it wasn't going to have the big figs.
Right.
It's kind of interesting, but
that is.
You know, so he sees nothing but those leaves, and he knows there's not going to be any normal figs on there.
No, I see some other correlations here as well, you know, with the tree drying up and, you know, Jesus died on a tree and he extended to us that shade, you know, that they're talking about in Israel and all that happening. But I wonder if there's a type and shadow, and I'm just kind of spitballing here a little bit, Cher. I'm not make any declarations, but you know, if the fig tree being cursed, is the Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, you know, and Jesus was cursed so that we could be made whole, you know, so that fruit could come, you know, because it said that the reason for the curse is because he was looking for fruit. See, Jesus was cursed so that fruit would abound, you know,
and
that we would actually bring forth fruit. Righteousness for the kingdom of God in our life. I just kind of popped into my head a little bit.
Yeah, well, we're navigating this. There, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But that's in Luke 13, 6 through 9. If you wanted to look at that, he was looking for fruit there.
Right. Well, and then, you know, we're talking more about the curse. It's like, why is he justified in cursing the tree? It's showing that by its nature that it will be as it has been, unfruitful. He knows it's going to be unfruitful. And if there's no bud, there's no fruit. So why waste time, you know, waiting for that fruit? He can see that there's no life. And so that parallel with Jerusalem again is like he's looking around. And if there's no life, then there's no life. You know, it's not like it's going to shift or change.
Well,
so
once
he's
again,
just,
you know,
he's aggravated.
He looked for fruit. You know, Jesus said he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be the sons of God. You
know, then he's flipping over the tables because he goes in and they're not even worshiping him anymore.
Right.
They have turned his sanctuary of worship into a place to sell merchandise, or I don't know, were they selling t-shirts or I don't know, whatever they were selling.
Well, doves but and sacrificial
things. They were
things
just selling
and,
all this stuff, and you know, and there wasn't even...
Probably
said there
remedies
was,
and different things.
Yeah, it said there wasn't any room for them to even worship. So Jesus is looking around, and he's like, this is no good. You know, he wants to wipe that clean. He wants to, you know, he just wants to...
So
he's flipping tables. He's mad.
What about Peter's response to the fig tree? You know, we see that, you know, he acknowledges that it happened. He saw Jesus talk to the tree, but he didn't really think anything about it till they gone and done all the other things. Now when they're coming back, you know, he was surprised when he saw the tree withered up.
I don't think there's any moment through the rest of these miracles that you aren't seeing the disciples still in awe of Jesus every time they're around him, and every time they see him do something, they're just, man, they were like just learning every second, every minute that they were with Jesus. And now they're seeing again where Jesus is so focused. The whole rest of this story is about faith. It's about speaking to the mountain. It's about your words. It's about, you know, when you speak to something and you say to something, whether it's blessings or curses, there's power in it. And he's trying to teach the disciples almost like being a good ambassador of Jesus and what you say, you know, it shifts. It's like he's talking about Jerusalem and there's parallels there. And then it goes into, if you have faith to speak to the mountain, you know, there's all this faith again that is, it's just constantly building their faith, right?
Yeah, I agree, Cher, with, you know, us needing to say to the mountains, you know, in our life, be removed. But what a powerful story that is.
All of these miracles have a section that is related to faith. All of them do. I think we have time for another one.
Yeah, let's dive into another one. How about the healing of Malchus's ear?
It's
miracle number 38. You know, so, you know, I would say that for this next one, we're ear today, gone tomorrow.
Of course you would. Oh, my
Luke
gosh.
22.
Wait, so this is what miracle are we on?
50, it's miracle 38.
Miracle 38. I think we're getting
Luke
22,
close. 49 through 51.
Right. Go ahead.
I'm going to read it.
Okay.
When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said, "Lord, should we use our swords?" And then one of them struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus said, "Enough of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the other writers mention this event, but Luke is the only one who records the miracle. Isn't that like it's mentioned, but he actually, you
just
know, wrote
says Peter
this.
Cut off the ear.
Right. But he tells the story here. So that's kind of interesting. But wow, we see that Malchus. We see Malchus in heaven, probably. You know, will we see him in heaven? Is what I was going to say. Like, and you know, it's just going to be funny. And how do we know his name is Malchus? Because John tells us in verse 50 years later, he indicated his name. Isn't this crazy? So this is how
part
it's
of
put
the
together
early church.
Because it wasn't mentioned in Luke.
If Jesus put my ear back on after Peter cut it off, I'd join the church too.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know what? Jesus was still carrying so much power that even when the ear was cut off, he's like, here, you know, he could just stick it back on and it would go back on, you know. But John 18:10 said, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, pulled it out and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. Now, that slave's name was Malchus. So he mentions his name, even though it's really interesting. It wasn't mentioned in Luke, but he ties it together there, referencing the story. So, you know.
Did you realize that that's the only external wound that Jesus ever healed?
You know, you're right. Well, I guess even though the leper
sicknesses create wounds,
the leper was made whole.
This is an injury,
but it was an internal thing. Yes, this is you're right. This
it's
is like
the
an
first
injury
that
right.
You know, somebody's actually caused something.
You can't see
to
Kevin,
else.
But he's making swords.
I'm sword.
He's
chopping.
Swording, chopping with his arm right now at me. I'm like using your arm as a sword.
Right, but you know, shall we strike with the sword? I mean, the disciples wanted to defend Jesus, so I brought my sword out.
Well, because they were coming to take him away, and they weren't. They didn't want to have that, you know. And I'm sure they were confused by Jesus's lack of defense or not wanting to escape. And
well, they'd watched him walk through crowds and not get captured so many times, probably. And then now, all of a sudden, he's just kind of laying down, man. He's
they're like, do you need us to help you? You know,
like, we'll fight. And he's like,
right. And of course, Jesus didn't need their help. If he needed to get away, he would have, but they were willing at this point. They're ready to fight for him, you know? And
sure.
And then you
especially
look at
Peter, he's got that temper.
He's got this quick temper, you know. John 18:10 tells us that Peter is the one who strikes with the sword, right? So perhaps the others are asking, and they're asking,
like, I'm
Lord,
not asking anybody.
Wax it off, you
off
know?
Off with his ear.
Because why don't Matthew, Mark, or Luke mention Peter, but John writes about it after the destruction of Jerusalem, then he ties some things together. The others wrote before that, so maybe it would have caused harm to Peter. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, maybe they didn't want to say anything, but...
Well, Jesus had just told Peter that he would deny him,
that he would
the whole
deny him.
Rooster
That's
story
right.
and all that. And then we hear, you know, we see Peter standing up for Jesus, and, you know, Luke points out that it's just a piece of the right ear.
I mean, that's still important.
You
but
know, this,
but
I don't know.
It shows us, you know, that I don't even know where to go with that. But it's a piece of his ear. It's still a part of his ear. I had a thought and I just lost it. I want to bring it back because it was about what we were talking about with, it'll come back to me. I lost it. Poof, it was gone. But let's talk about like the quick touch of Jesus. You know, Matthew records that all of those who live by the sword die by the sword. And if you think that it that is the way that you will need to protect yourself, then you're wrong, because right. Jesus tells Peter to put away his sword, and it is part of the need of the suffering of the Messiah, you know, and he had the power to escape. We know that, but his purpose was to stay.
Yeah, that's so, tough, man.
It really
you know,
is.
Because the Son of Man, you know, Jesus had already read about himself in Scripture. He knew what his fate was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he knows that he's the Messiah, then he knows that he's going to the cross, that he would have, you know, he could have escaped. He could have run away. He could have tried to dodge it. But this was his purpose.
I know. This
in
was
life.
Hard.
His purpose was to die for our sins.
Right.
And this arrest didn't take Jesus by surprise. It was part of the plan. And there's tons of references to that in the Old Testament.
Well, right. But think about it like, okay, there's this tiny, let's say it's a tiny piece of ear and it's not the whole ear. And Jesus just like, you know, picks it up and just sticks it back on.
Like, here, man, let me put this little earlobe back on for you, you know.
Well, yeah, it was probably like, I don't know, I picture it being
the top part.
But whatever, you know, it just gets stuck back on and Jesus just sticks it right back on there. And there it is. It's all good to go again.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Son of Man is suffering on the cross.
Do you think when all that happened, this guy had a very eerie feeling?
Oh, my gosh, not again. I knew if you were interrupting me, it's because you came up with a joke.
Oh.
We're tired today. We're just like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, I was going to say the Son of Man has to suffer on the cross. We know that. You know, we know he could have escaped. And I think there's some other things to consider, too, is that the zeal without the knowledge can be disastrous. You can hurt people.
Can have all the right reasons and do the wrong thing.
Zeal.
And create
problems. Right.
And then Jesus has to fix them.
And, you know, saying in zeal, you know, Peter had a quick temper. He was willing just to, you know, and chop, chop, cut it off. And we have to be careful of that. You know, it's important.
Well, I think I always want to remember to be instructed by the Lord so I don't become his obstruction, you know, in my life and all of us out there.
Right.
You know, if we'll heed to the voice of the Lord, if we'll listen to what God is saying, then we will avoid all the pitfalls and the obstacles that we create for God in the process of us doing it our own way and running that way in our lives.
Right.
You know?
We try to do it in our own way that we think is the right way. They're thinking they're defending Jesus in the right way. And he's like, I need to save the world. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to take the keys from hell. I need to do this, you know, but they don't know the big picture. They don't know that.
So, I always tell my kids, do it smarter, not harder.
Yes. So
Peter
true.
Did it the hard way, you know.
Yeah,
so
he didn't know. He was, you know, he wasn't maybe tuned in, or they weren't recognizing at that very minute, this is it. Like, we've come to the moment now where Jesus isn't going to slip through the crowd. He isn't going to, you know, go away. He's going to actually let them take him. And, oh, we're getting to the sad part, you know, the hard part. But it's a good part, too.
It is. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more and wrap this up.
Sounds good.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's Kevin and Cher with Turn the Light On. We've been talking about the miracle of Jesus speaking to the fig tree. And
that was
being
a harder
withered.
One for me,
it was.
Right?
It was tricky.
I guess because we've been doing all the ones that were just more focused on, you know, good things and talking about Jesus.
I did like the correlation of the fig tree in Israel and seeing that research that we did to figure out that that's in Scripture, that Israel is referred to as a fig tree. And then Jesus, you know, brings the fig tree. And I liked the part with us coming under the shade, you know, and the Gentiles getting pulled into that. That was pretty cool. But
it is interesting, but it was a
we've been talking
one.
About miracles, and I think, you know, we usually one time throughout the week, and we haven't yet this week, prayed for those who might need a miracle out
we
there.
Should,
Cher,
we should
so
pray.
Why don't you
let's pray.
Lead us into a prayer for those of you who are out there listening, and if you really need a breakthrough and a miracle in your life today, we're believing for God to do something incredible in this moment right here, right now. So
amen.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, let's pray. God, we just thank you that this time, Lord, of a lot of people feeling like they don't have the answers, they don't have clarity, they're looking for a miracle, and they are crying out to you that you are faithful, we can trust you, we can believe in you, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that it was by your stripes that we were healed. And we just thank you, Father, that you are a God who is still doing miracles today in people's lives, whether it's through healing, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's provision or finances. God, I just thank you so much that we can declare and come in agreement with people listening right now that you are the God who heals and provides.
Thank you,
Lord. Are the God we can count on and believe in. And we thank you. In thankfulness, we come to you and thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're doing in every person's life here. I thank you, God, that you're blessing them, you're healing them, you're providing for them in every way that they need.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah,
amen.
Lord, we're just so grateful to be a part of your kingdom.
Yes, God.
To have you in our lives. And if there's anyone out there that you've never asked Jesus in to your life, into your heart, you know, I pray that you would just take a moment with God and just surrender your life to him. Just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. And I welcome you into my life because God's waiting for an invitation. So, Lord, we just thank you that those who don't know you would come to know you, that those who need healing would be healed, and, Lord, those who need deliverance would be set free. We break every bondage, every addiction off of your people. We give you all the glory for it, and we are just so blessed by you in our lives, Jesus. We
thank you,
and we give you honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We love you guys.
Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community. We'll be right back.